So as you may know, we went to Palm Springs for our vacation, and we were downtown seeing what was going on, excuse me, seeing what the town had to offer, and we drove around a bit and saw a sign for the Wellwood Murray Memorial Library. And of course it was Luke who said, "Let's go to the library." So we parked the car, got out into the 100 degree heat, kind of a contrast, and we went back to where the library was. And we learned that it was a historically designated site. If you look at the website for the Wellwood Murray Memorial Library, it lists three purposes. Number one, it's a branch of the main library in Palm Springs. Number two, it's a research library for Palm Springs historians. Number three, it is a downtown tourism site. And we also saw that it was open from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. We walked in the library, looked around, saw some newspapers and computers, went through some doors, saw some meeting rooms, and the man at the information desk said, "Well, what are you looking for?" And there was apparently one thing that this library did not have. Although when they opened in 1941, they had 4,000 of these. The Wellwood Memorial Library doesn't have any books. Now, I could go 1,000 different directions here. Now, for someone who worked in the book industry for about 7 years, I can't think of anything sadder. But by analogy, a library without books, it's like a plumber with no tools, like a carpenter with no wood, like a grocery store with no food. Or put it in spiritual terms, a church without God, a Christian without discipleship, a vine with no fruit, a sacrament with no power. John 15 is Jesus' discourse with his disciples in the upper room. This is his last will and testament. They're sitting around the Lord's table. This is his great teaching on discipleship. Without me, you can do nothing. Three things emerge from discipleship in our reading today. Discipleship has something to do with thinking, something to do with living, and something to do with supernatural experience. I also realize it's Mother's Day, so we'll touch on that as well. Discipleship has something to do with what we think, something to do with what we believe, doctrine. Jesus talks about the vine and his followers' connection to it. This is important because in the Old Testament, who is the vine? Israel is the vine. But here in John, Jesus is describing himself as the vine. He is supplanting what Israel was supposed to be. And by extension, he's saying he is the source of all things. He is the source of life and the source of faith, the source of everything. This is the doctrinal piece. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Without him, nothing has been made that has been made. The source of all. We often see doctrine as something that is dry, something that is irrelevant. However, it is our very life. Without our affirmation of Christ as the source of all things, we have nothing. Nothing to offer. It is indispensable that we have correct belief about Christ. What we believe about Jesus will dictate how we live in the world and will dictate our priorities and our actions. Which leads to the second point. Discipleship says a lot about how we live. We are in Christ's love, he says. when we do what he commands. And what does he command here in this passage? To love one another. To love one another. Now keep in mind that Jesus is sharing his very last meal with his disciples before his death. He illustrates his command by washing their feet, knowing that they will all scatter, knowing that they will disappear, knowing that he would be betrayed, knowing that his best friend would deny him. But he says, by loving one another, the world will know that you are my disciples. There are no gimmicks to evangelism. The most important sign to our world that we are Christians is our love. Not a love that is fluffy, not a love that is smarmy, like that word, but a love that is cross-shaped. Jesus kind of love, sacrificial kind of love, that lays down our lives for our friends. But lastly, discipleship also involves a supernatural experience. Our faith is a supernatural faith. If we are entering into a relationship with the living God, change will occur. In fact, we can never think the right things or live the right kind of life that Christ requires without a supernatural relationship with him. St. Anselm says, we do not understand to believe, we believe to understand. It is a supernatural experience. Scott Hosey says that in order for Jesus' command to love one another actually makes sense, he says, quote, you're going to have the sap of Jesus flowing in you already. Think of that vine. Because only this bends you into the kind of shape and makes you into the kind of person that hearing a command to love will make sense. Jesus has to assume our being grafted onto him, or else the command to love is the emptiest and silliest thing anyone has ever heard. How can you love your neighbor? How can you love one another? How can you love your enemy without a supernatural experience of Christ in your life directly? It can't happen. Beyond that, our faith is real and living. It is no coincidence that Jesus says these words at the table of the Last Supper. Now, it's often said, well, John doesn't say anything at all about the sacraments. Think about it a little bit. From John 2 to John 6, you have John 2 to 5 is all about water. John 6, 70 plus verses about the bread of life, to which he culminates by saying, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And what's his primary metaphor while he's speaking to his disciples around this table? The fruit and the vine. It's very obvious that he's using this imagery to point us beyond ourselves to a return to that table, where we look to him in faith, and he gives himself to us. If we look at closely at the text, experience is important when Jesus says, just as. You love just as the Father has loved. You do my commands just as I have done my Father's commands. You live in us just as we live in each other. There's an experience of each other. I remember when one of the first times I received communion in the Episcopal Church, I was about 24, and it was Christ Episcopal Church down at University. And it was a typical Sunday, not anything really special, not anything going on. But as I knelt to the altar, I felt repelled and I felt drawn in at the same time. In other words, a little bit of fear, not afraid, but awe, but also a magnetism. I have to have this. This has to be a part of who I am. Now, I've witnessed two mothers in my life, Sarah and Martha. Much of what my mom did with me, Sarah does with the kids. And it's wonderful to see them praying and reading scripture together. My mom made me go to church, and my wife makes my kids go to church. Although usually they're just fine coming. Something growing up, though, that was very meaningful to me was a particular question my mother asked me all the time. Now, she was quite the cook. And I mentioned tortillas last night, but there is also something else. Enchiladas. Now, my family makes them in an unusual way. Usually have them with corn tortillas, right? When you go to the restaurant, my family makes them with flour tortillas. It's kind of made the same way, but a little bit different. However, these things are very valuable in the house. So we'd have bartering, we'd be trading, we'd be paying. One of my brothers offered my other brother his bike if he'd give him an enchilada, his last one. Of course, my brother said, sure, and he never got the bike. That's a whole nother story. But the question that my mom would ask is, would you like some more? To which the answer obviously is, of course. Of course. There's always more to be had in the presence of God. There are always more to be had around His table, whether it's this table or just the table of fellowship with Christ. We cannot exhaust His eternal presence. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit invite us to drink from the deepest of wells, invite us to partake of the table of the Lord. Discipleship has something to do with thinking, something to do with living, and something to do with our supernatural experience of God Himself in our lives.